challenge when you Brother Calkins is a test of the reality of this love that resides in us. The real test when you sometimes we wish it would be Paul's line. You know, Paul's line is that I could avoid him. You know, but John's line is you have to love. You know, that's John's line. And what is wonderful in chapter 4, verse the last clause of verse 8 is God is love. But to think the perfection of that love is viewed in a place of judgment. It's to go to Calvary because it is you have the myrrh in the Old Testament. You have the acacia and you have the aloes. The myrrh is we know in the Songs of Songs when he put his hands in the door and her heart was moved for him and she rises up, the suffering love of Christ. But it says of the aloes is a tree that is gotten from India and the aroma, the fragrance of it only comes to light when it is cleaved down the center. It's at Calvary. This love really, in all its splendor, in all its depth, is seen. Is seen. Wonderful. God says, hey, you are a child of God. That's wonderful, brother. But when you see Calvary and see the Son of God, dear, dying under the stroke of divine justice, you says, what love? Taking the guilty sinner's place. And he says, it should melt everybody's heart to realize this is the place that the Son of God has taken, not only for my sins, but to demonstrate how much God loves us. He says, I'm going there. Saints, take a good look at Calvary and see him there nailed, spat upon, scourged, crowned with thorns, whipped, son of a drunkard. We'll not have this man to reign over us. And the hymn writer is not the nails that held him there. It's love that bound him to the altar. The Father's love and his. Saints, when we view it, and this is what John is saying. In this was manifested the love of God towards us. Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What a place.
And that is the uniqueness of the love of the Lord Jesus. It wasn't that he went to the blessed God and said, look, they're poor creatures, they're prone to sin, leave them alone. I have pity on them. In that love, he maintained the very rights of God. He said, the wages of sin is death. So I'm going to maintain that line. And if it cost my life, I will pay for them. It didn't, we have been bombarded with the world thinking of love. Overlook it. It's okay. It's alright. No, there is a righteous display that love would come out. And I think the love of God, if it came in a different way than this, it would not really be of a great impact. That's not even the right way to put it. But it was the only way to show the love of God is by maintaining the righteousness of God and by Christ going there and paying for every sin. And take away the sin of this world. God sent his only Son. God demonstrated his love by saying, he's going to die for you. Christ demonstrated his love by saying, I am going to die for you. I'll pay with my own life. So the righteous claim of God will be met. And God will be free to come out to you and express all his love.
And it's good also to notice that when it comes to verse 9 and 10, in both occasions he sent his Son. But you might say, verse 9 brings the thought that we might live through him. And it stops there. It doesn't bring the thought of the sins yet, yeah, or the propitiation. Yeah. And brethren, this is what we have to keep in mind. That the purpose, or you might say, as far as this verse is concerned, that we might live through him. And that is, to me personally, is for the delight and the pleasure of God. So that you and I might be conformed into the image of his Son, and thus God might be delighted and God might find joy in the company of those that Christ Jesus died for. The second verse brings the thought of the propitiation for the sins. That is to say, what was good for the benefit of men. And this is what love is all about. Love is not something, you know what, forget sin.
Overlook it.
Love covers multitude of sins. And what propitiation is a word that comes from the word atonement. That is to say, love covered the sins from the sight of the blessed God Himself.
What is, again, the hymn writer. Love found a way to redeem my soul. It is only God and God alone could have come up with such a scheme to judge sin and save the sinner. Man could have never, to remain a righteous God and embrace the sinner without reservations. It is not a compromise, as you state. But love now found a way whereby the heart of God could be fully revealed, and the one who wronged God can enjoy what God has revealed. Oh, I tell you, when you pause and you think of it, you say, if Christianity got to be from heaven. Yeah. Got to be from heaven. Man would have conjured up something and find some loophole and appeal here and appeal there. But when it comes to Christianity, every door is shut that man have to say, helpless. And God says, there is where I want you. I want to show you my heart. And you come in all the acceptance and all the blessings that love can bestow upon man. So God will have all the glory.
Amen.
And man got nothing.
There was a reminder, maybe by Philip, to look in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that deals with no fear and love, and how love could be perfected or not perfected. I'd just like to take us to the Gospel by John, chapter 15, as a background, maybe. And the thought here is the vine and the branches. And at least it helps me to be basic in my thinking and maybe chronologically move on, build stone by stone to maybe understand. The thought here, there is a vine and there are branches. And when it comes to love, in verse 9 of chapter 15 of the Gospel by John, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. That brings very critically the point of abiding in the vine. I need to be abiding in Christ. We referred to that earlier, but this brings it to me as a picture very clear. Now, when I am in the vine, when I'm continually getting the juice, would you agree I would be filled with the Spirit of God? Now, what is the first fruit of the Spirit? In Galatians 5:22, we know the verse very well. But the fruit of the Spirit, first one is love. Just brought to my attention clearly, I need to abide in the vine. I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Then when we go to the fear subject, if we look at verse 12 of 1 John 4, and we read verse 12, but the thought is in the end of verse 12. 1 John 4, 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Brings back the thought of dwelling in love. The thought of fear, someone mentioned it this way, it's like someone goes with his friend to a place, and then they wanted to go here and there, and the father at the house says, you'll be here at 9 o'clock, let's say. So that young person said, I have to be at home at 9 o'clock. And the friend said, oh, are you afraid of your father? Do you fear him? The person said, no, I fear to hurt my father. I love my father so much. I don't want to go against his will or his desire. So when you love, you don't want to hurt. And certainly we don't quench the spirit, we don't hinder the spirit, we don't believe the spirit. It's just the Lord help us with those thoughts. Abiding in Him, dwelling in Him, being filled with the Spirit, would not do anything that would hurt.
I'd just like to just present the verse, because we heard it a few times this afternoon, that God in love did not compromise, His love did not compromise His righteousness when He judged His beloved Son. There is a psalm that's always very tender to me, Psalm 85 verse 10. Loving kindness and truth are met. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And this took place on the cross of
That's the proof of worship.
Amen.